This Resurrection Sunday, I'd like to speak on the thought, the resurrection, the doorway to new life. It's amazing how in just a moment, when the disciples realized that Jesus was alive, when they finally realized, I should say, how all the sorrow of the previous 3 days just went away in an instant. And they were filled with joy from that moment on and are still living in that joy today. Amen? Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. They asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Let's bow our hearts this morning. Let's ask God's blessing upon the sharing of his word today. Heavenly Father, we give you all honor and glory and praise today. We thank you for the redemption that you have freely given to us because of the death and resurrection of your dear son, Jesus. This morning, as we look to the empty tomb and we fix our gaze upon the risen Savior, we ask that you would move upon this place by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray you give words to the speaker, and I pray you give each and every one of us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has for us this day, so that, God, we may experience the full resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our lives. And we ask this in your holy name this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you read the book of Acts, the disciples who were then to become apostles, one of the things that marked their ministry, everything that they did, what they preached, and what they thought about, was not only the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, but the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. If you look at the book of Acts and read the sermons of the apostle Peter and of Paul, and you also look at their writings, you'll not see a sermon that does not have the resurrection of Jesus Christ mentioned in it, because it is a very important part of the redemptive work of God in mankind. And what I mean by redemption, mankind being delivered from sin and the consequence of sin, which is death, and being given the gift of eternal life. It was in every sermon that they spoke. The apostles, in fact, were so moved and realized the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that after Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, 40 days after he rose from the dead, The first thing that they did was to appoint a man to fill the place of Judas Iscariot, because they wanted to be sure that there were 12 eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in fact, if I could just digress for a moment, their testimony, the written testimony of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, supported by the eyewitness testimony of the 12 disciples, now apostles, is one tangible proof that Jesus Christ, in fact, has risen from the dead. We don't have just one account of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but God in his wisdom and his providence moved upon four men to give a detailed account of what Jesus Christ did for us. Not only suffering and dying, but rising in power, might, and glory. And there were 12 eyewitnesses among many others who testified to this. And these men who saw this brought the testimony of Jesus Christ rising from the dead to their grave. If you read the Gospels, and some people might even feel this way today, some people might think, well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a staged event. The disciples probably went in and took the body of Jesus, just like Matthew's Gospel records it. But if you look at what was going on in Jerusalem at that time, the disciples had absolutely nothing to gain and everything to lose if they, in fact, went and stole the body of Jesus. Jesus, although he was righteous, pure, and true, was condemned as a criminal and died. And there was no reason, in fact, the disciples were very skittish and very cautious after Jesus Christ was crucified and even after he rose from the dead, because they were worried they too would be arrested, falsely accused, imprisoned, and perhaps also crucified. But the reason that these 12 men held true to their testimony to the point of death was because they saw Jesus Christ in the flesh. They were even able to handle him. He not only heard his words, but they were able to touch his body, as 1 John chapter 1 tells us. And this gives irrefutable proof that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is true. Why? If you go to court, if you're someone who has been accused of a crime, and you go and have a trial in front of a jury, how many individuals do you go before? How many individuals sit on a jury? 12 people. And if 12 people come to an agreement that you are guilty, then in the eyes of the law, you are a guilty person. 12 people went to their grave testifying that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father. It's true. If it wasn't true, you would think most of them, when things got bad and it got very difficult for the apostles, would have given up. Would have broken in, lost their testimony or changed their testimony and said, it wasn't true. We or somebody else stole his body. But these individuals went to their death and experienced incredible things because of their faith in Jesus, because they knew that Jesus Christ was alive. Now, that's not the only reason why we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Above all, we believe Jesus rose from the dead because of what he does in the lives of those who receive him as Savior. I think of the words of those two individuals that the Gospel of Luke talks about, who were walking on this road to a place called Emmaus, and Jesus came and began to speak with them, and they didn't realize and recognize who he was for some reason. But afterwards, after Jesus revealed himself to them, they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened up the scriptures? More importantly than what we can see and read about is what our spirits tell us when we hear about who Jesus is and about what Jesus has done. So But at the time, the disciples were not people who were open to hearing or believing that Jesus, in fact, had risen from the dead. But as time went on and as Jesus himself revealed himself to the disciples, they did accept him. They didn't believe the women. They didn't believe the two who met Christ on the road to Emmaus. Thomas, who was not with the other 10 when Jesus first revealed himself to the disciples, didn't even believe them, his brothers whom he walked with for 3 years. And finally, they experienced Christ firsthand and put their faith in him. And once they accepted that Jesus Christ had truly risen from the dead, it changed them forever. And my friend, if you haven't experienced the resurrected Jesus Christ in your life, and you choose to do so, just like the apostles, it'll change things in your life as well, forever. Because on that day, when the disciples finally realized that Jesus, in fact, had risen from the dead, they knew that the words of Jesus Christ were true. All things are possible with God. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ do? What power does it bring? Well, the greatest thing that the resurrection of Christ gives mankind, and the resurrection is not just something that Jesus Christ shared himself, but it's something he shares with everyone, is power and freedom over death. There is something in most cases, except in just a few instances, that all mankind fears. And that thing is death. And people fear death for a good reason. At the very best, death to an individual is something that is unknown. It's a mystery. It could be good, but it also could be bad. But as we grow in life, especially when and as we live life, we know that no one's perfect. No one has lived right perfectly before God or perfectly with other people. There comes the feeling that there, because of the sins or transgressions that I have done in my life, there may not be a pleasant afterlife waiting for me after my life here is over. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 puts it this way. The Bible says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way, death came to all people, because all sinned. The Bible describes death as an enemy. And the reason death is an enemy to man is because of sin. Sin brings death to mankind. And the sting of sin and why sin is categorized by God as an enemy is because of the law. The Bible gave, or the Lord gave, way back in the time of Moses, a moral code for man to live by. He very plainly and very explicitly laid out what was right to do and what was wrong to do. And that, in that time, but also today, is not something that is liberating. But the Bible says that is something that is condemning. And the reason it is condemning is because it exposes all the faults that we have in our life. 1 Corinthians 15 puts it this way. The sting of death is the law. So all have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. And without some kind of divine intervention, all mankind was destined to face a horrible future after death. But something changed universally that day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Death could not hold Jesus. And I believe death could not hold Jesus for a number of reasons. Number one, because he is God, he has authority over everything, including death. And number two, because he was, is, and always will be perfect, holy, blameless, sinless, death could not keep him, because death only has power over sin. So after 3 days, because he was God and because he committed no sin, the Heavenly Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God did this not only so that the Son would not be forever condemned in hell or forever trapped in hell, but above and beyond that, so that mankind now would have a way to overcome sin and the penalty of sin, which is death, in our lives. We read about this in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. The Bible says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." So what is the resurrection, and how does it apply to your life and my life? According to the Word of God, because Jesus died, and because he died without sin, he paid the penalty then for everyone else's sin. And rising from the dead, he provided us a way to escape the fate that lays before all mankind, that being death. And if we choose to personally accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we too share in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of that resurrection. If we know Jesus, then just like Jesus Christ on the third day after death rose again, we too will also rise. There is not one person here who is immortal as far as your physical body. Your soul and your spirit is immortal. But your physical body, and if you don't believe me, just wait a few years. You'll begin to sag and get a few wrinkles and everything, and you'll believe me. Brother Charlie, can you testify to that? And listen, Brother Charlie doesn't mind. We don't pick on him. We honor him for his age and service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But if we know Jesus, and when Jesus rose from the dead, although there were imprints of the nails in his hands, although there was a scar in his side from where the soldier stabbed him after he had passed away, after he had given up the ghost, his body was whole, glorious, and all-powerful. He raised bodily. He just didn't come back as a spirit. The disciples could touch him. This is my wife, by the way. So I can touch her. As he talked to the disciples on one occasion, he ate fish and honey. It was a physical body that rose from the dead. And if we know Jesus, although all of us are we're dying. They say you die from the point that you're born. And yes, we're getting older and we're all headed towards that inevitability of death. Death is not the end. If you know Jesus, you too will rise again. And this body, which is corruptible, which will grow old, will get sick, grows tired and weak, and eventually will die, in a moment, in an instant, will be changed. This corruptible body, as 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, will put on incorruption. This mortal body, which will one day die, will put on immortality. Not only will you get a new body, but your new body will last forever, just like Jesus. Because Revelation tells us we shall be like him. Jesus will never die. The Bible says death no longer has any power over him. And if you know Jesus, one day you will physically die. but your spirit will live forever, and your body one day will be resurrected, and it will never die. So if we know Jesus, one great dynamic of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our lives is we no longer have to fear death. Death is no longer a mystery. We know exactly what's going to happen. I've mentioned this before, but I think it's important to mention again. If you know Jesus, you might die alone in the middle of the desert or on a deserted island, physically alone, but spiritually you won't be alone. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, like he did in the life of the poor beggar Lazarus, will send angels to escort you into his presence. Death is nothing that has to be feared. The mystery is gone. And any pain, any guilt, any pain or anguish that we might feel about what we've done in our past that has brought dishonor to Jesus or has hurt another individual, if we know Jesus, will no longer be brought against us. And we don't have to worry about an eternity of hell. And let me tell you, hell is real. I know there's some discussion because of a book that was recently written that hell is not real and God loves everybody and God died for everyone. And I haven't read the book. I plan on doing it, so I'm not even going to mention it this morning. But there's this an idea, and it's nothing new. This line of thinking has been around for many, many years. But the truth, my Bible's there, the truth will endure forever. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to be won. And if you know Jesus, that heaven is guaranteed to you, and you don't have to fear dying and fear paying for your sins, because Jesus paid for it on Calvary and he rose again the third day to enable you to rise again too. And friend, if Jesus had, and he still has, the power to rise from the dead, Jesus, and if you believe in him, he has the power, you too will rise from the dead. Not that you have the power, but God gives you the power. Then God has the power to do anything in your life. What is this resurrection power? This power, and it is powerful, comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 writes, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. I can't understand completely. I know I will someday, but my little human, for lack of a better term, pea brain can't wrap around completely the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the one God, three persons. How Jesus could be forsaken of the Father, and how the Holy Spirit worked in such a way to raise Christ from the dead. But by faith, I know it's true, and I know the Holy Spirit raised Jesus bodily from the dead. And that power that raised Jesus from the dead, and that power that rested upon the Son of God as he walked this earth, when he was water baptized, the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. Romans 8 tells us, can also, if we know Jesus personally as our Savior, dwell in us. It will be the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause us to raise from the dead one day. When the trumpet of God sounds, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise. But the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't just something that gave the apostles hope for the future. It impacted their lives at that moment. It changed them. Once they accepted the resurrection and then were later filled with this same power, it changed them as far as their lives in every way possible. Of course, they're noted for being men of ministry. They didn't have much money. They didn't have many means. They weren't politically influential. But God used those 12 men and later the Apostle Paul, as well as others, to establish the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is still going strong today. How powerful is Christ? Powerful enough that without money, without influence, without great knowledge, lives are changed. In fact, the course of our whole world and where we are today, mostly our Western civilization, but also Eastern, has been influenced by one man, that being Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They did great things. But they did so in the face of many, many challenges. There were, of course, the financial aspects, and they didn't have contacts with other people. They weren't people to be looked up to. In fact, they were people who looked down on. These are ignorant and unlearned men. They were people who hated their message. They were targeted by religious leaders, by political leaders. Herod had one, James, one of the disciples, killed. But they were able, despite all that, to preach the good news of Jesus and establish his church. How? Because they were just wonderful speakers, or because they were connected, or just dumb luck? Not at all. Because of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ upon their lives, the power of the Holy Spirit, they preached the word in power. When they preached, things happened. They laid hands on the sick, they recovered. They spoke in new tongues. As Mark's gospel later in chapter 16 says, if they, you know, any danger was before them, they overcame it. And through their word, lives were changed. There were people now of great authority and great knowledge. They overcame, and they were able to do what God called them to do, despite impossible odds. Why? Because of the resurrection power of Jesus. And you know, these men were not supermen. They weren't people who didn't have to worry about any problems. You ever see people like that? You know, you just look at their lives and you think to yourself, oh, these guys don't have anything to worry about. They got plenty of money and plenty of prestige. And every time you look at them, you know, look like they have it all together. That would not describe the apostles. In fact, you read about them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were kind of an ornery bunch, just like everybody else. They weren't any worse or any better. Had personality conflicts. They worked with people. They got tired. They got sick. Different things happened to them which were disappointing. They got thrown into prison. They were persecuted and faced also incredible spiritual trials. But they overcame because the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ rested mightily upon them. And as I mentioned earlier, if the Spirit of Him, Romans 8:11, who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. I know every one of us here face challenges in life. That power that helped the disciples, that raised Jesus from the dead, is also present for you to help you in every area of your life. This morning, there may be people here who may be struggling with something in your life that is unpleasant. What I mean by that, sin. Maybe it's an addiction, but maybe it's just an aspect of your personality that others don't like and you don't even like. God has provided the power for you to overcome whatever that is, and that is the power of His Holy Spirit. And I'm not just talking to people who've never made that confession that Jesus Christ is their Lord, which I'll talk about in just a few moments. But even people who know Jesus struggle with sin sometimes. And I don't say that because I make a list of what different people do. I say that because 1 John tells us, if we say, and that we as church people, if we say we have no sin, then we are a liar, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christ died and rose again so that we would no longer have to be a slave to sin. And you don't have to continue living in the vicious circle of sin that you've been living in. There is a key, there is a hope, and a sure future. A sure way to overcome. I can't overcome. I don't have it within me. I fall down over and over again. You're right, you can't, but through you, God can. If you rely on the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us new life to overcome our old natures. He gives us new life to live. Every one of us here has a story. Parts of your story is good, or parts of your story are bad. Some, in fact, are probably facing hard, if not impossible, situations. You have a situation either with your family, your job. It might be a financial situation. It could be related to your health. And there seems no way out of what you're doing. Or maybe it's just been a long time that you've been waiting for God to move. In whatever you're going through and you've given up hope. Don't give up hope. God is able in the name of Jesus. Through the power of His Holy Spirit. To give you strength to overcome. He gives new life to living, strength to endure, wisdom to act, faith to believe. And regarding those who minister for Christ, and we've all been called to do something for Jesus on one level or another. The Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of His Holy Spirit, the resurrection power of God, gives us new life for ministry. In doing things for Jesus, one of the things that we have to struggle with, it number one, keeps people from doing what they feel God wants them to do. Number two, makes them less effective for what they've accepted to do from God. Or number three, causes them to stop serving God and stop fulfilling God's call in their life prematurely. And that's fear and the feelings of inadequacy. I don't have what it takes to do what God has called me to do. And it may be a missionary, or a pastor, or evangelist, or maybe just witnessing to a friend or a neighbor, or teaching children, or teaching adults, or assuming a leadership role in a church, or starting a Bible study in your home, or whatever place you might live. You know, there's so many things. And so many people feel that call, feel that urge from God to do something, but because they're afraid of failure, because they feel they just don't have what it takes, don't do it, or they quit after they start. And there's a reason that happens, and that reason is we're relying and thinking that we have to do it all by ourselves without relying on God. Those apostles, who people described as ignorant and unlearned men, who were timid, frightful, confused, as we read their account in the Gospels, were mighty, powerful ministers of God, not because they were great men, but because they relied greatly on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit enabled them to do everything that God wanted them to do. In fact, I think that's one reason why the church isn't as effective as it should be. We don't rely on God. We kind of trust in ourselves and our own abilities rather than relying on Jesus and His Holy Spirit to accomplish what God has called us to do. But when we recognize the full scope of the resurrection power of the resurrection, that resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of His Holy Spirit, and then the impact that it has in our lives. Not just that someday, as blessed as that is, we'll rise again, but we have power to live today for God. God is no respecter of persons, and you can be equally powerful and effective as the apostles were, as any pastor, any preacher, any evangelist over all time. Because if they're truly men and women of God, they're not doing it by themselves. God is empowering them to do that, and God will empower you as well. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. And there's something interesting to note about the account of the resurrection of Christ, especially how it impacted the disciples. The disciples weren't changed the moment Jesus was resurrected. All of a sudden, they didn't feel something and say, "Wow, I'm going to stop being fearful. I'm not confused anymore. I'm going to go out and start preaching. I've got my act together now. I don't know what's happened, but something's happened." And later on I'll find out that Jesus actually rose from the dead. It didn't happen that way. Disciples didn't become changed individuals until they themselves believed. And then when finally they believed, then they were able to accept the full benefit of that wonderful event that Jesus rose from the dead. There are some people who preach that Jesus died for everyone, and because of that, everyone's life, everyone's eternity is set, and everyone's life is set. I agree with that to a point that it is for everyone. Jesus just didn't die for the 12. He just didn't die for Jerusalem. In fact, right before He ascended to the Father, He said to the disciples, "You're going to be witnesses to me here in Jerusalem, but you're going to be witnesses to me also in Judea, in this whole area. And you know what? Even though you don't like them, you're going to be witnesses in the area of Samaria. And guess what? You're also going to be witnesses all over the world, so that people could hear and put their faith in Jesus." The resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ only affects those individuals who put their faith in God. I don't know all of you today, Some I've known, some I've met a few times, some I've known for 7.5 years, as long as I've been here. Today might be the first day that I meet you. And the most important thing that I can give you as an individual is Jesus. And I hope that you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus. Because if you haven't, you're denying yourselves a life-changing and a life-needing experience. Because when you know Jesus, your future is sure and your present is full. And so this morning, we're going to pray two prayers in closing. I'd like to ask everyone to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We all know that the Bible says Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again. And he died for one great purpose, and that purpose was to redeem mankind, which means literally to buy back. To buy back man from sin and death into life and to peace. The Bible says the wages of sin is death in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. God's a holy God. And because he is holy, he is compelled, just like we are in our society, to judge and to punish those who are found sinful. He is and he will judge all mankind, and those who are sinful will be condemned. Some say that's harsh, but even in our society, we view that as fair. And the Bible also says that all have sinned and come short of God's glory. Every one of us, if we were to stand before God just by ourselves, without any help, without any assistance, stand guilty before God, and so we're condemned. But God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to take that punishment for us. See, the wages of sin is death, but because God, we're his creation, he created us, he knows us, he loves us. Instead of allowing us to die for our sins and die in our sin, sent Jesus to die in our place. He took the punishment for us. And to realize that gift of forgiveness and to have that forgiveness applied to our lives, God says the only thing you need to do is put your faith and trust in him. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 tells us, if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, then we're saved. If you're here this morning and you've never personally put your faith in Christ, never invited him to come in to your life,